Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to another top-rated radio show on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to the American Hour with your host, Commander Tom Garcia, on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody. This is Commander Tom Garcia, and welcome to the American Hour. And, of course, I've got Nick Taxia helping me out, co-hosting with me tonight, calling us from Baltimore. Correct, Nick?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. How did you know it was me? We didn't talk before I called in. I could have been anybody.
I recognize the phone number.
No. Okay. That's tighter security than we have down south at the border. So.
Yeah, barely, but yeah, it is a little bit better. So, how's life in D.C.? Well, you're in Baltimore. Tell us what's going on in Baltimore right now.
Nothing. I just to tell you the God's honest truth, I like to get out of D.C. every once in a while. If you can imagine that, I know it's tough. Most people want to move to D.C. and spend their whole lives there around all the, you know, the spin and the yuppies and the pretentiousness and the lies and the, you know, the hot weather. But, no, I like to escape sometimes, go out to, you know, the country, the suburbs where I was raised. And that's just what I'm doing. I just change the scenery, really.
Yeah, hey, that's always a good thing. That's always a great thing, a little change of scenery. So, well, we're going to talk about few of the lies. Now, it's, you know, it's only August. I'm kind of surprised. I don't know if you are. You're a D.C. guy, but the fact that it's only August and we're already seeing some really nasty, you know, attack ads coming out of the different presidential campaigns. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, if you're talking about the Joe, what is it, Soptic? That's his name, Soptic ad, where
yeah,
he says because
right.
of Mitt Romney, you know, Bain Capital, you know, closed down the, or he was at least downsized in 2001, lost his health coverage, and that one where, you know, 6 years later, his wife succumbed to cancer, and they only discovered, you know, less than a month before. If you mean like that, what can you say to that? I just tweeted out. The Obama campaign has stretched the truth so thin, Tom, that it looks like it has AIDS. I mean, they have stretched the truth to the point that they're walking a tightrope on a selling thread.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're familiar with Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, I've read the book numerous times, and it really is the playbook for the left. And I should start referring to the left as the criminal left. But for the criminal left, rule number 13, right out of the playbook. And anybody out there, hey, if you have not read Rules for Radicals, get it. You will know exactly what they're going to do next because they don't have anything else. They've been using the same playbook ever since Alinsky wrote it and going back before, but he just kind of collected everything that the criminal left has been doing it for you know, 100 years. But rule number 13, confound the enemy with allegations he cannot possibly disprove. Whenever possible, turn the enemy in on himself. Look for ways to increase insecurity, anxiety. Then in parentheses, watch how organizations flail helplessly when blindsided by, and here's the key, irrelevant arguments. And this is what this president is doing. He's running on irrelevant arguments because he certainly can't talk about his accomplishments since not only as president has he accomplished nothing, but his entire life he's accomplished nothing.
But I did see on your website...
Dubprogressive.com. If you don't know about Nick's, of course, you have to know if you've listened to the show before. Nick's website, Dubprogressive, and I see the latest headline there, a report, and I'm sure it's coming, again, from the criminal left, that Mitt Romney fed a 20-month-old baby to crocodiles. Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's just...
Well, we were going to get to that. I was going to get to that later. That's our breaking. We've been working on that the past 2 days, interviewing people, verifying our sources, as you well know. And
it comes
to find out that if you read, if you go to dubprogressive.com and read the article, You want to explain it, or should I, Tom?
No, we'll let you get to it. I didn't know you were going to talk about that later, so we'll come back to that. But we'll let you go right into that a little bit later on. But it just goes to show the incredible lengths that the criminal left is going to go to these days to get it. But as you were talking about the what was the guy's name? You had his name, the steelworker. I don't have his name written down, but he lost his job because of the Bain takeover. Now, I like the way they report that. Lost his job because of the Bain takeover. Let's see. This was a bankrupt company about to go completely away, and the Bain takeover caused him to lose his job. I think the previous management caused him to lose his job. I think the steel industry and the economics of how we handled China and Japan stealing the steel industry away from us, I think that affected his job. Bain saved his job. That company was slated to go away, and 10 years later it was still in business after Bain took over, and Bain gave it their best shot. And Bain had a pretty good track record, around a 75-80% track record of saving companies. So Bain didn't take over and go like, oh, now we're going to cut a bunch of jobs. His job was already toast, period. So, and then you were right. It was like 5 or 6 years later. But another interesting aspect is that when he lost his job, his wife was working and had a job, and she had insurance. So this had absolutely nothing to do with, one, his wife getting cancer, and two, his wife dying from cancer. They had insurance. He got another job within the next 5 years and had insurance again. So it's a complete distortion of the truth. In fact, it's really an outright flat-out lie, that whole story. It's just a flat-out lie. It's true he lost his job, but he lost his job from a company that was going to go away no matter what, period. And Bain lost millions and millions trying to save that company. But they get no credit for that. No, they're the big evil corporation. Yeah. So anyway, that's one of the lies we were going to talk about today. I want to point out Saul Alinsky's quote about getting organizations to blindside organizations with irrelevant arguments. Things, though, that will resonate with the public, of course. And that's where, your article we'll talk about a little later about feeding 20-month-old babies to crocodiles. I mean, that resonates with the average, average American. I'll leave it at that. Average American, I guess. But let's see. Now, at Allah Pundit. Yeah, that's right. Allah. Like Allah, Allah, Allah. Allah Pundit makes a point about this whole smear. It says, what precisely did Bain do wrong? They shouldn't have closed down the plant because it was unfair to expect workers who were laid off to ever find new jobs with insurance. It was negligent not to predict that some workers' wives might get laid off too and wouldn't find a new job for years before they came ill. There appears to be no actual policy or business critique here. It's just a string of events spread over five whole years with certain key data omitted, and you're supposed to infer causation without really being told why or how. This is what the unicorn prince has come to after promising 4 years ago to heal America. Oh, he's going to heal America. And now he's got a blowtorch that he's torching the entire United States of America with in his scorched earth policy to try and re-win the election. So, I don't know. Well, I mean, have you seen anything else? I've got a few other things, but have you seen anything else out there, Nick, that you see are as blatant lies?
Well, for one thing, they've tried to connect the shooting with the shooting at the Sikh temple with the Tea Party and with the whole, with the stuff I've seen throughout the internet. They tried to connect that with the Tea Party and with, just the right in general. And anybody that knows somebody who's a true, a constitutional conservative, that leans more to the traditional interpretation of conservative, or some would call classical liberal, would know that we are about as close to the alleged shooter, Mr. Page, as I am to an anteater. So there's no absolutely no foundation. There's a difference between saying, everything I I've seen this sign at a Tea Party rally once. Everything I know about Islam, I learned on 9/11. That sentiment, I don't even agree with. But as repugnant as some people may find that, even that is a far cry from a Wade Page who goes into a Sikh mosque, Sikh temple. Sorry, Sikhs. I know there's probably hundreds listening right now, Tom.
We have a big following, yes.
Yeah, distinct Sikh following. That goes into a Sikh temple and just massacres, half a dozen people. There's an enormous, I don't want to be in any way, guilt by, six degrees of association with anything of those. I don't even call them people. They're not deserving of being called people. But I've seen attempts throughout the, since Sunday, to connect us with radical neo-Nazis.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you get when, you go over the deep end and you become a nut job. It's going to happen in a country as big as ours. But I've got a little bit of article on this written by Robert Stevenson, who has a very unique perspective, and I think he kind of gets it right. I really didn't connect the two until I read his article. And what he's doing, he's connecting President Obama's collectivism to this massacre, and not to the massacre itself, but to what the president had to say about it. Obama advised all of us. Now, I do remember reading this and thinking to myself, sort of along the same lines, but really didn't quite piece together. He said, we all need to do some soul searching. We all need to do soul searching, but listen to the way Robert Stevenson puts this together. I think he does it quite well. He says, much like Obama's now famous, you didn't build that speech, this comment says a great deal about the president's collectivist philosophy. Collectivism boils down to one basic idea, that no individual is responsible for anything alone. This is a common philosophy on the political left, as I now call the criminal left. But few realize how sinister and damaging a philosophy like this is to society. Collectivism is damaging to society because it invokes and requires the absence of responsibility. And I will not name him. I don't name names. The man responsible for the Sikh temple shooting was, by all accounts, a crazed madman. He acted alone and should be held singularly responsible for the atrocities he committed. The vast majority of Americans have no involvement in and are appalled by the ideas of neo-Nazism, white supremacy, etc. And, of course, mass murder is far beyond anything that Americans would consider as a rational course of action. But not so according to Obama's collectivist philosophy. Soul-searching is needed because no one individual can be responsible for anything, whether good or bad. We are all responsible for what happened in Wisconsin. This is why collectivism is sinister. It takes responsibility for terrible things away from evil people and gives it to honest and decent people who have nothing, and I'll repeat, nothing to do with it. So, President Obama, I don't need to do any soul-searching because I won't be walking into any temple anywhere and shooting anybody. You need to do some soul-searching on your collectivist Marxist ideas. Now, collectivism can go the other way as well. When the president told business owners they didn't build that, he took responsibility for their achievements away from them and gave it to people who had nothing to do with it. Collectivism rewards failure and achievement, equality, and so takes away the incentive to succeed. This is the kind of attitude that slowly erodes the fabric of an industrious society. Now, you probably remember the story of Colonel Bradford when the Pilgrims came over, and they tried an effort at collectivism. You remember that story, Nick? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, not since my freshman year in college.
Okay. Well, he became governor of the colony, recognized that this form of collectivism, that they might try that. And so what they said was they created a common store, and each member of the community was entitled to one common share. All of the land that they cleared and the houses they built belonged to the community. The problem was, you then had people that said, well, if I get one common share and everybody's contributing to it, maybe if I don't contribute very hard, I still get my common share. And they found out they did. So a lot of them became slackers. And in the end, Governor Bradford, formerly Colonel Bradford, realized this doesn't work. So what Bradford and his community found was that the most creative and industrious people had no incentive to work any harder than anyone else unless they could utilize the power of personal motivation. In other words, if they thought they could get ahead, they would, and they would work harder. But if they didn't think they could get any farther ahead than the biggest slacker in the group, they wouldn't work any harder than the biggest slacker. And so they abolished that whole concept and basically said, all right, this is your land. What you grow on it, what you catch on it, what you do with it, that's yours, period. Nobody else's. And then we saw, you know, things really come back to life and grow and achieve and flourish. So that's sort of the true story of Thanksgiving. The pilgrims under the auspices of collectivism didn't work. But we've got a president who just so firmly believes in that. And every time he opens his mouth these days, we're getting another little glimpse into his collectivist ideas. So there's more of that. It's not so much our theme today of the lies continue, but the collectivism continues under that article.
Well, I think Obama, as the heat of the campaign increases, as the tempo increases, you know, anybody, this isn't news here, but Obama can get his feathers, ruffled very easily, and he can let slip some pretty insightful and outrageous statements at times. And I just hope we keep seeing this as the election approaches.
Yeah. Now, are you familiar with the Knights of Columbus at all? Have you had a family member or known anybody that was a member of the Knights of Columbus?
Yes, I have.
Okay, I don't have a Catholic background. My grandparents on one side of my family were Catholic, but I didn't, learn much about it. What I've learned from Catholicism has been from friends, et cetera. But so I did have a friend whose dad was a member of the Knights of Columbus. Got to visit their, their meeting hall, et cetera, once. And it didn't strike me as, and going back in my memory, a whole lot different than some of the groups I belong to now in terms of, they get together, a bunch of guys, they have something in common, like I do with veterans, and I'm a member of the American Legion and VFW and Navy League and on and on. And so, but they are having their 130th Supreme Convention in Anaheim, California, and I guess they've already kind of kicked it off. And at the opening session, they usually read letters of greeting from leaders around the world that have, written in and for this very occasion. I think it's interesting to note, now, of course, we know the assault on the Catholic Church and really on religion by this administration, but they've targeted the Catholic Church in their assault on religion. The first letter read was from President Barack Obama. After it was finished, there was complete silence in the hall, complete silence, a couple thousand people in there at least. Then letters were read from the leaders of Canada, Mexico, and the Philippines, and, of course, loud rounds of applause were given to each of those letters. So the president has really alienated a large block of voters in this country, and it's going to get even worse. So your assault on religion, Mr. Obama, ain't working out so good. You may be gaining some extra little bits of support from the left, people that are drones that are going to vote for you anyway, but you're losing people that voted for you before. And we know that there's a lot of black leadership in the evangelical black leadership in the country that is speaking out against the president. And they wouldn't have done that in the last election for anything, but they've had it with them. So I thought that was an interesting note. Absolute silence when the president's letter was written or read, and lots of applause for pretty much everybody else, even from socialist countries. So at least they're not having an assault on religion in their countries, I don't think. But so that was something I thought was of note. And let's see what else I've got here. We've all
content of the. Do you know what any have any excerpts from the letter?
No, I don't, and that would be interesting to get hands on that. I'll see if I can find something to do with that. No, the article just simply denoted that, the president did send in a letter. The article caught my attention because it said, something silence from Barack Obama, but I'm thinking, that at first maybe he didn't send a letter, but he did send a letter, just it didn't get a very warm reception, didn't get any reception whatsoever, zilch. So, why don't we talk about your article? And I'm looking at the webpage right now that Mitt Romney fed a 20-month-old baby to some crocodiles. I can't, oh my gosh. It sounds a little bit like the cancer story in the way you kind of have to tie things together. But why don't you let everybody know how this transpired?
Well, as you know, it's, number one, it's very heartbreaking. And so anyone who is, you know, who cries easily at, you know, at Disney films or something like that, you know, please, you know, just be aware. What happened basically is that just the same company, GST Steel, when Bain Capital took it over and tried to salvage it, eventually they couldn't, and the company had to be done away with. This guy was downsized, or just really just laid off, much like Joe Sopcich. And the guy, his name is Mark Ringley, and he lost his job in 2001. He had several jobs after that, leading up until about 2007, 2008. And his wife is also a nurse practitioner, so she's making good money. The family is not destitute, but the guy's still depressed that he can't find work that is in any way comparable to the pay and benefits he had at that steel company. So his wife says, okay, in 2008, all right, you're depressed. You've been looking for the same type of, you know, at least an equally paying job for years. You're bummed out. I know what to do. Let's go on a vacation to Disney World. So they fly down to Fort Lauderdale, take their kids. They have a 6-year-old girl and a 20-month-old boy named Eddie. And they get a rental car. And I don't know if you've ever stopped in St. Augustine. Yes, you have. You're Tom Garcia. You're from yeah, you know St. Augustine.
Oh, yeah, I've been there. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, beautiful town, great history, and it's got a good little party section, too, which is what I like about it, but that's another story. So they stop at St. Augustine. They go to the alligator farm there, you know, the nation's largest reptile, you know, habitat and rehabilitation center, and the guy's looking into the crocodile pit, and he slips on a banana peel, slams up against the railing, loses his grip on his 20-month-year-old son. Boom, the 20-month-year-old Eddie, he becomes crocodile food in a matter of seconds. And so he obviously, listen, hear me out. If he hadn't been depressed, that he had been out of a good job for so long because of he got laid off by Bain Capital and Mitt Romney, and he wouldn't have gone to Florida to Disney World, they wouldn't have stopped in St. Augustine, they wouldn't have gone to the alligator farm, and his son wouldn't have been eaten by crocodiles, Tom.
Oh.
Obviously, Mitt Romney fed this guy's son to crocodiles, and that's what I have Joe Gibbs on there. He was on MSNBC this morning. I got a clip of him talking about former White House Secretary. He says, quote, Romney's company fired Mr. Ringley. Mr. Ringley got depressed because of it. His family went on vacation to alleviate that depression and consequently had their son eaten by crocodiles. Mitt Romney fed this man's baby to crocodiles. What is not clear about that? I don't know. It's crystal clear to me, Tom. When is somebody going to stop this madman, Mitt Romney?
Yeah, and I see that of course, the Obama PAC wanted to go to the animal habitat to film the scene of the crime where Mitt Romney literally fed this 20-month young man, young boy, to the crocodiles. But the thank goodness the animal habitat said no. It's their policy. They have a policy against drunk morons who let their children fall into exhibits, and so they're not going to let anybody film it because of their policy on drunk morons. But it's good to see that drunk morons are, you know, supporting Obama and getting involved in his campaign ads.
Well, they failed, and they failed. It's like what Joe Gibbs said. You know, the Obama the Romney campaign, they're going to throw in things like details and circumstances, like, for example, that the dad had a drinking problem for years before he even got hired by GST Steel, and that he was drunk at the time that he let his son fall into the crocodile pit and get devoured. But, you know, who the hell cares about details and anything? Mitt Romney threw a 21-year-old, or 20, actually, if you're 21, you may get drunk and stumble in there yourself, but he threw a 21-year-old.
If Mitt Romney can lift a 21-year-old up, I'd say he's pretty strong for being in his 60s.
Right. Well, yeah, yeah. Well, he already looks pretty good for 60. He doesn't look any 65, I tell you that much. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, but that's, anyway, that's the narrative. That's the story. That's all that matters. It's simple. It grabs your attention, and people who head into the polls who have an IQ below the three-digit range will go in there saying, I'm not going to vote for anybody, you know, let somebody's wife die because he fired him, or I'm not going to vote for anybody that's with 20 months or you're living in a crocodile. You know, because that's basically the mentality that they're going after, just the absolute dumbing down. And both sides do it, but the left seems to be particularly adroit at it at this moment in American history, it seems.
Well, I think the criminal left has to realize that the trailer trash community that would be fooled by an ad like this, if there is anybody that even falls into that category, they don't typically vote. They're too busy getting drunk, doing drugs, hanging out in their trailer park. They don't vote. So, yeah, keep going after those. You chase after those votes, Obama. Good for you. Get those votes. I think what I just said was very politically incorrect, but too bad.
Well, that's how I commonly tweet out the show, you know, kick political correctness in the nuts tonight with Dub Aggressive on, you know, the American Hour with Tom Garcia. But I tell you what, I think there's a lot of people who say that they, oh, I don't know, I'll vote for Obama again, I guess. But you know what? Come election day, they're going to be like, is that really how I want to spend my lunch break? Or you know what, I'm late for work as it is. Do I really want to swing by the polling booth and pull the lever for Obama? I mean, basically, you know, the election's a two-pronged approach. As we all know, you have to get your side energized and you have to get the other side not energized, you know. I think that's pretty much it. That's what we're looking at, and I hope a lot of people came out for Obama last time. They just stay home. Do you know all the horrible things that can happen? You know, you can step out of your house, get into a car accident on election day. You know, everyone heading to the polls in the morning and everything. You know, it's better just to stay home, though.
Yeah, it is. You know, and. You know, if you want to blame Mitt Romney for some of these things, I want to blame Barack Obama for becoming president. If he hadn't become president, then certain things wouldn't have happened, and they wouldn't have affected me, and so it's all his fault. You know, it's this kind of finger-pointing. I wish – do you think the president could just run an ad talking about his achievements? I mean, it would be about a 10-second ad, I think. Well, by the time he introduced himself, he'd be done because he has no achievements. But isn't that what politicians are supposed to do? Talk about what they've achieved, talk about how they can move that forward and gain even more in the next 4 years versus just simply attacking the other guy. I mean, that to me shows, without even knowing what the ads are, if all of his ads and all of the super PAC ads coming from Obama and the people that support him are all simply attacking Romney, it tells me they have no substance to run on, none. So that's all I need to know right there. That's all I need to know. He's got no substance to run on. And when he does, that's the thing. If he tries to run on substance, that's when we really see the lies. You know, unemployment up and slow growth of the economy just goes to prove that the economy's turning around. 3 summers ago, it was the summer of recovery, and I kept the page off the White House website that talked about the summer of recovery and how, oh, boy, you might think that the economic problems are behind us because things are so great now. Literally, that's what they said. Things are so great now. You might think it's all behind us, but we still got a lot of work to do. But we're going to just keep plugging along, and this truly is the summer of recovery. And it wasn't, and last summer wasn't, and this summer isn't. So the only way they can run on substance is to lie and make stuff up because it doesn't exist. Now, one of the lies and cover-ups that they've been trying to go after is, remember the president wanted a bipartisan agreement or a bipartisan committee that would make some decisions about spending and cutting government such that if they, you know, and if they couldn't come to an agreement, that there were just going to be automatic cuts, the biggest of which would be, you know, the Defense Department, not the executive branch. Oh, no, heaven forbid, who cuts the executive branch, but the Defense Department. And, of course, the bipartisan committee couldn't come to any agreements. So now we're faced with tax hikes across the board, and no cutting of government and costs going up. So in an effort to not highlight his failure of leadership in that whole event, the Department of Labor sent out directives to some of the large military contract companies. I mean, big companies, Boeing, Northrop, I can't think of some of the others off the top of my head, but letting them know that, hey, you know, we know there's a law that says if you're about to lay off a whole lot of people, you've got to give them a heads up and let them know in advance, you know, at least 60 days in advance, if not more. And the Department of Labor said, yeah, you don't really have to do that. It doesn't really imply in this case, when in fact it absolutely does imply in this case. And these companies could be held liable for civil suits as well as federal suits if they don't comply with the federal law. And so once again, we have the Obama administration violating federal law and trying to get legitimate companies out there to violate federal law so he doesn't highlight, you know, in the weeks or even months prior to the election, hundreds of thousands of people losing their jobs.
And which states would that affect?
It would affect states that typically are California, Virginia, Carolina, probably Washington State. A lot of these states are states that do tend to line up as Democrats. And when they see all those massive job losses coming and they're receiving those pink slips, those states could just swing the other way because of that alone. And so here's what they're trying to do. They're lying to these companies saying they don't have to comply with federal law, and their reasoning for it, there was no reasoning. It's just, oh, don't worry, you don't have to. It doesn't really apply in this case, but they didn't, in their directives, state any federal or congressional direction that explains why it doesn't apply in these cases, because it does. So once again, they're lying, not necessarily the American people, but they're lying in private to private companies to try and cover up from the American people what's going on. And it's a failure, an absolute failure of leadership.
Well, if I was the Obama campaign, I would say that the Republican controlled Congress, and they're not gonna say this, but you know, is trying to force companies to lay off, you know, private defense contract workers, and I would say, you know, they're trying to increase the unemployment to galvanize people to vote, you know, against the administration, when actually, you know, according to law that has nothing to do with the administration, these companies have to lay off people if a budget is not passed. What is it called? Sequestration? I got that term correct, Tom?
Yeah, sequestration, yeah. So, but and the reality is, and I think more and more people are tuning into this, they're realizing that the Republican Congress has passed budget bills and sent them to the Senate, and Harry Reid won't let them go up for a vote, won't even let them go to committee. He shelves every one of them. So it's not the do-nothing Congress. The Congress has been passing bill after bill after bill, budget bills, appropriation bills, and jobs bills, and it's the Senate, controlled by the Democrats, that are doing nothing. Talk to people like Marco Rubio, and you'll find out that he doesn't have a whole lot to do. That's why he's out helping campaign for Mitt Romney, whether he's going to be VP or not, because he's got nothing else to do. The Senate's not doing anything. Congress is doing stuff and passed lots of bills. And ask Harry Reid, how many bills have passed in the Senate in the last 12 months? You know, one or two meaningless little trivial bills. And then ask him, how many bills are you sitting on from the Congress? 13, at least 13 that have to do with jobs and appropriations and the budget. So, you know, there's your do-nothing party, the Democrats. It's their do-nothing because they don't want any of that to happen, because of the way Republicans have written those bills. And those bills have been written to slash the size of government, to scale back on this massive spending. If you want to see some examples of the spending, go to our Facebook page, The American Hour. Look for The American Hour Radio Show page on Facebook. And I put up a graphic that is very graphic in terms of how spending has gone since about the year 2000. And you can see just how deeply in debt we are getting because of the kind of spending that has never, ever, ever occurred before. And it just keeps going because we got a baseline. The first year Obama was president, it was the Bush budget, but Bush never signed it because Pelosi wouldn't finish it until after Obama was sworn in. And so it was Obama that signed it, and he could have vetoed it, but it loaded up that bill that Bush probably would have vetoed, my guess, and loaded it up with additional spending. And then, of course, you got the stimulus that the president signed as well. So he owns all of that. And that became the new baseline. That is the new baseline because there have been no budgets since. And when you do a continuing resolution, you essentially say, okay, what did we do last year? Well, we're going to do it again this year. And that's what we've been doing for now coming up on 4 years, continuing resolutions of the biggest spending binge in one single year ever in the history of our country. And we just keep doing it over and over because the Senate Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think you had the first word was the most accurate between binge and what you accidentally first said.
Oh, I don't know what I say.
You said
binge and purge.
Spending bitch. You said spending bitch. And then you're like, I mean binge. I'm like, no, you had it right the first time.
Did I have a Freudian slip there? Oh, no. Okay, yeah. Well, you know, Navy guys do that stuff every now and then. But, yeah, it was a spending binge that we've never seen before, and it just continues. Because all we do is just continue that year's budget, year after year. We need a new budget and a budget that takes us back to a baseline of at least, 2004, maybe 2005. 2007 was one of the smallest bills, budgets that, deficit spending-wise, that we had had in probably about a 4 or 5 year period under Bush. The spending was declining and the deficit was shrinking, and then Obama just quadrupled down on it.
Well, that was the theory that Limbaugh was just echoing the theory yesterday that's what they want to do in order to destabilize the economy is to bog it down with so much debt and so much spending that basically the entire system collapses in and on itself, and the government has to come in and reconstruct the entire thing from the top down. I mean, it makes sense. It combines a little bit of how Ayn Rand described it in Atlas Shrugged and everything. This little regulation creates this problem that needs the government to come in and make this little regulation, this little taxes, that creates a whole another set of problems, and basically, eventually, the government just ends up owning the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now, sort of back to the whole lie thing of the smear ad that came out from the Obama PAC. What does CNN and the mainstream media focus on? That? No, of course not. They jump all over Mitt Romney for him claiming that Barack Obama is, destroying the welfare system. And Bill Clinton even came out and made a statement. He said, no, that's not true, that Obama administration has taken steps to ensure that work requirements for welfare recipients are maintained. That's not true at all. The Obama administration directive issued on July 12th allows individual states to, and here's the word, experiment with changes to their welfare-to-work programs. The intent, according to the directive, is to, quote, challenge states to engage in a new round of innovation that seeks to find more effective mechanisms for helping families succeed in employment. Now, this is something that I've been talking about recently, that the liberal left, the criminal left, is engaged in. They like to talk about the intent. Oh, but this is going to help so many people. Oh, but this is for the little people. Oh, this is for the poor people. Oh, this is... Intent is meaningless in government unless you have law to back it up. There is no law in existence that has been passed by Congress that allows the states to experiment, to engage in innovation, and violate the existing law. There is no law. So the president cannot issue directives to any agency in the executive branch or executive orders telling anybody to do anything unless it's based on law that has been passed by Congress. And yet he does this on literally a weekly basis. And
well,
so
it sounds like he's trying to free up more people and give more people free time to go vote in those crucial purple states.
Yes, yes. He wants to release them from the requirements to have to actually work and eventually get back on their feet and let them just keep drawing welfare checks. And the states can get creative. Well, we know how states get creative. They'll go, hey, let's try this and that, which we know won't work. and won't cost us any money. And, yeah, basically tell people, yeah, you can apply for work, not apply for work, get in the jobs program, don't, you know, whatever, become an intern somewhere. Not, it doesn't matter. We'll just keep sending you the checks. That's what he's hoping the states will do. Now, some of the liberal states probably will take him up on it. But the other states are going to say, no, we don't want to do that. We want to get these people back working. Because if they're working, they're paying taxes, and they're going to be paying more taxes and then be paying on a welfare check. Let's get them back to work. And that's what the states really do want. But so, you know, the lies continue. That the president has the ability to issue these executive orders and directives that are in no way in compliance with any law because no law exists to support that directive. So anyway, I've probably said all I want to say tonight about the lies continuing because most people are watching this stuff and scratching their head, and maybe tonight we've given them some insight into what has gone on with some of these issues they're not going to get from the mainstream media. I've got a quote of the day. It could even be, well, it's going to be the quote of the week. And I'll let you have the floor again, Nick, in case you want to talk about some other stuff. And then I'll give you my quote of the week.
Okay, so your quote of the week is not happening right now.
Not yet. I'm going to save it for the end because I think it's a good one.
Okay. All right. Well, on theprogressive.com, I've come out with the summer 2012 horoscopes. I don't know if you've have seen them or not, but we do offer your horoscope. Usually, you know, we try to do it monthly or you know, if not that, then seasonally. And horoscopes are hard for some reason to make up. And I just didn't say make up. They're more, you know, they're harder to conjure from that crystal ball that I have. And you know, Just a few. Here's for all you Aries out there, March 21st through April 19th. With more and more cities banning plastic grocery store bags because of all the quote-unquote dangers they pose to dolphins, your status as a suicidal bottlenose dolphin will become a lot more frustrating. If you want to commit suicide and you're a dolphin, you're looking for that plastic grocery bag. And if it's not there, you're going to be awfully, you know, it's going to be hard. Okay, Taurus, April 20th through the May 20th. Your dream of being hired as a top official by the Obama campaign will be realized after your random email submission of the slogan, Penis Envy. We got it. just anytime you want to stop your bellowing laughter, Tom, just feel free.
Okay.
Let me get a word in, why don't you, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd. We're almost in the Virgo period. The warm weather is bringing back memories of your time with the Occupy Wall Street movement, isn't it? Fret not. Those glory days may be gone, but the lice, scabies, and hepatitis C's are yours to keep forever.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Yes. Scorpio, October 23rd, November 21st. Currently reading faux horoscopes on The Progressive, aren't you? Well, you know you didn't do that by yourself. Somebody else made that happen. Aquarius, January 20th, February 28th. Your desire to legally obtain a driver's license will be quickly squashed upon the re-realization that you are Hispanic. Eric Holder forgives thee. And then finally, Pisces, what the hell are you doing with a driver's license anyway? You're Asian. I love Asians. Even they joke about how bad they drive. And really, personally, on the road, you know, I own a car. I live in a major city. I see drivers of all, you know, colors, shapes, and sizes. I don't see anything particularly bad about how Asians drive. You know, now my girlfriend, who is not Asian, she's a, you know, English, German, Irish. My God, that's all I got to say.
Yeah. Well, hey, I did upload an audio file to play today. You remember, you've seen Jay Leno do his street walking where he talks to the average citizen out there, ask some very basic questions about, you know, whether maybe our government or what's going on today in the news and that kind of stuff. And people are generally clueless. And it just goes to show a certain level of lack of awareness of what's going on around them. Well, Jesse Waters went to Massachusetts, and the title of the piece he did was Why Does Massachusetts Hate Fox News? And it's really a video clip, so there's interspersed some cuts, some sort of funny cuts from TV shows and famous people making some statements, et cetera. But so it kind of, just trying to listen to this, gets a little off track at times, very briefly. But overall, it does give you a sense of people in a college town, Cambridge, that are kind of clueless about some things, some very basic things going on in our country today. And politics in general, and although they're liberal, and they are liberal, a lot of them, it's a liberal town, it just goes to show that their liberalism is not based on any real knowledge of reality. So I'm going to play it. It's about 2.5 minutes long, and tell me what you think about it. But I think, I don't know, how familiar are you with Massachusetts and the Boston area, Cambridge area?
As familiar as I try not to be. But I've heard Boston's pretty cool.
Boston's a very cool town, and I used to fly out of there for the airline for almost 3 years. I lived in New Hampshire to avoid the state taxes like most smart people do, but I got to spend quite a bit of time in Boston, and, you know, very, very nice town. Love the town. And, of course, you know that our co-host on Summer Vacation, Paula Lazan, that's where she lives in Boston. So I'm sure she would get a chuckle out of some of this. But let's see what kind of interview he conducts. It reminded me a lot of the Jay Leno street walking.
Define this town. What's this place all about?
There's a lot happening, a lot of art.
It's an idyllic college utopia.
What's this town all about?
Tree hugging bisexuals.
Thank you, boys.
They're women.
Now, you're a Marine. Do you feel comfortable on campus?
No, not one bit.
What are you doing here?
I'm homeless in Harvard Square.
This is where I live, little man.
And you think Obama's doing a good job?
When it comes to food stamps and cash assistance, I got it.
He's come up.
Calm down.
No,
it's okay. We're gonna get through this together.
Cambridge.
There's a homeless guy that's kind of freaking out.
Now, and it's quite wonderful.
So you're stoned right now?
I'm pretty stoned.
You guys are employees of Harvard.
We're researchers.
Solyndra. How much money did the taxpayers lose on Solyndra?
Anyone? Anyone?
Have you heard of Solyndra? No. Fast and Furious. Are you guys concerned about that at all?
What are you referring to?
Is that the border scuffle with Pakistan?
No.
No.
That was Mexican border. Do you know who's running for president?
No.
Are you a Tea Party type of girl?
I guess so.
Do you know what the Tea Party is?
No.
I feel like Fox News is factually inaccurate.
Can you name one lie we told?
One lie you told. Okay, let's see.
You don't like America?
I would rather live in a country that posited itself as neutral.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Take your time.
I'm trying to think of the best lie.
Everything's under control, okay? Just relax with me.
It's better not go on TV.
It's not live, so...
Yeah, we're good to go then. Hold on.
You're a Fox News fan?
I do watch Fox a lot, yeah?
Yeah?
How about when I'm that guy Purdue? Is he still doing it, or...
Who?
Purdue?
Like the chicken guy?
Yeah, the chicken guy.
He's off the air now.
Is he?
Yeah, but he's still got the chicken out.
What's the matter, chicken?
Ron Furrow.
You ever watch Fox News?
Can I just end this right now because of the peanut gallery? Just turn your camera right behind over your shoulder. They're all being goofballs.
You seem very angry, sir.
Yeah, don't talk to me. Don't put that camera in my face. What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
If you ran into O'Reilly at a Cambridge cocktail party,
right?
What would you tell him?
I would probably avoid him.
There's definitely something to be said about his opinions being not so friendly to many folks that I would associate with.
Now, who would you associate with? Terrorists? Criminals?
What? I'm sorry to rule against you.
Bill O'Reilly. He went to Harvard. You know that?
Yeah.
Can you believe Harvard accepted O'Reilly?
They'll accept almost anyone.
Welcome to Harvard.
Anybody can get in.
We know that. Obama got in there, so obviously anybody can get in there. And that's, you know, something that I was reading a little bit about today. I saw two different articles, one written by a guy who says he doesn't remember Obama there and took the same similar types of classes that Obama supposedly took. Yeah. And 400 people were randomly interviewed from the class of 83 that Obama graduated from there, and nobody remembers him at Cambridge. So does that mean anything? Well, I read another article. A guy said, look, you know, it was an all-male school. And see, I'm going to do the fair and balanced thing here. It was an all-male school, and if you come in as a freshman, that's kind of where you make your friends early on. Obama came in as a junior and lived off campus, and so it's quite possible. On the other hand, I don't think so. Can you imagine going to college with however many people, you know, maybe what would have been 800,000 people in his graduating class, and 400 people couldn't remember him, but the guy that you're having a hard time remembering became president of the United States? You'd probably dig back through your notes and other things and talk to some friends and go, hey, because I'd call some of my buddies up from college and go, did you ever know this guy? This guy's president now. Do you ever remember seeing him in there? And yet nobody can ever remember seeing him there. I think it's kind of odd. It doesn't mean he didn't go, but don't you find that kind of odd looking back in your own college career?
Yeah, and the first politician I ever worked for, who I'm still great friends with today, we ended up disagreeing on a lot politically, but we're still, you know, great friends. You could not walk within a 10-mile radius of the guy and not hear him, and within a 1-mile radius, meet him. Met and spoke with everybody. It's kind of hard that, I mean, this guy is a, you know, is a born politician. You know, he's born to shake hands and kiss babies, or kiss hands and shake babies, whichever the one is, you know. But you know, the point is that being a politician and a very skilled one, like Obama, up until recently, but that's, you know, we're talking about a whole different level when you're president. Who would not remember the guy? You know, he was photographed enough. You know, and that stupid hat and that cigarette. But is that what you were referring to, the Wayne Allen Root article?
Yeah, that was one of them. I read a couple other articles on the subject, and you know, it just doesn't add up. It really doesn't. I graduated in a class of 1,000 people, and I wasn't in an all male school, but it was almost all male. And there are people, but I don't know. And now, I guess Cambridge didn't have a yearbook, or Columbia. Columbia didn't have a yearbook. I keep saying Cambridge, but Columbia didn't have a yearbook. Okay, great. I've got a yearbook I can go back and look through and look people up. And there are still people I don't quite remember. But usually I recognize their face, at least recognize their face. But we can't come up with anybody that remembers him and says, oh, yeah, I went to class with him, and he was a quiet guy, and he sat in the back. Nobody. I mean, just absolutely nobody. So I find it very odd. Now, am I going to try and go down conspiracy road or not here? No, absolutely not. But what I'm really getting at is, if you want to see Mitt Romney's tax returns going back 10 years, then you need to cough up some stuff, because we know almost nothing about you. How about you cough up tax returns for the last 10 years? How about you, you know, cough up your transcripts. Look, I'll tell you what. If I run for president, I'd give you my transcripts, and they weren't very good. I'll tell you right up front. They weren't very good.
Yeah.
But
not
I got through
either.
The place. I made it through the place, and I did actually graduate, and I can explain why my grades weren't so good, because I'm not that smart a guy when it comes to that stuff. But then if you look at my career in the Navy, I had a very good career in the Navy, a great career in the Navy. So, you just got to be open and say, hey, look, this is who I am. I mean, it's not like I'm applying for a job at Best Buy, and they want all of my college transcripts and, if I had done a thesis or engineering report or anything like that. No, they don't need that kind of stuff. But if you're running for president of the United States, you have to be a little bit more open about things. I mean, everybody hammered Bush about, you know, his college transcripts, and they were, you know, getting a hold of things that was questionable, how they got a hold of police reports, and I think he had a DUI and his college transcripts, et cetera. But isn't it funny how all of these libtards who want Romney to cough up his tax returns, One, won't give up their tax returns for the last 10 years, number one. And number two, they're all super wealthy. You know, from Pelosi to John Kerry, Obama's pretty damn wealthy himself now, Harry Reid's, you know, pretty damn wealthy, and on. They don't want to cough up any tax returns. They're all wealthy, and they're trying to convince the American people that he's out of touch because he made money. And the real difference is all of these other people didn't make their money. They either inherited it or they married into it. Unlike Mitt Romney, gave all of his father's wealth or whatever was his as one of the kids to charity, and then he earned his own money. He didn't inherit, and he didn't marry into money. He earned it himself. But somehow he's out of touch, while all these liberal elites are so in touch with a little guy, like Joe Biden. He came from a wealthy family. They call him just plain old Joe. He's just regular old Joe. Regular old Joe never had a job in his life. He went into politics right out of college, and soon after that got elected to the Senate, and he's been in the Senate ever since. He's not a regular guy. That's an outright lie right there. He's not a regular Joe. He's as out of touch as anybody could ever be. So I find it very disingenuous to attack him for being a self-made man and some kind of rich elite, when in fact they're all the true rich elites.
Yeah. Not wanting to reveal their taxes, I think it might not be something nefarious going on concerning their taxes, Tom, but I think it has to do more with trying to keep up this, trying to keep their wealth hidden, trying to keep their income hidden, and trying to, you know, keep forwarding this narrative of, you know, we're for the little guy because we are among the little guy. We are from you. And people like Mitt Romney and everything, which, you know, everyone knows that Mitt Romney's rich. You know, trying to keep that narrative going because he's rich. Obviously, he cannot relate to you. Whereas, you know, we're just like you after marrying into the Hines family of $500 million. But besides that, we're just like you. Yeah.
Yeah. And he avoids taxes, as certain port fee taxes, by keeping his yacht, I think, in Delaware versus in Massachusetts. So, you know, even though he's a billionaire, Harry, he does whatever he can to take advantage of the tax system. But he's totally in touch with a little guy who, you know, just fills out in a simple electronic 1040. Yeah, totally in touch.
The little guy usually has maybe about a 30-foot to 40-foot yacht. Definitely not.
Yeah.
Once you're like 60-foot, you're getting into, you know, big guy. You know, kind of middle class, just middle class, middle class status. You know, I mean, what 60, what 65 grand a year owner doesn't have like a 30, 40 yacht, you know?
Yeah.
Can I say one thing, though, about the article about Mr. Root? I met him and Bob Barr back in 2008 in May. It was at the Libertarian Convention. I was there on work purposes. And I met Mr. Root. Pretty impressive. I didn't get a chance to really, you know, have a deep conversation with him. Well, who I did meet, who impressed the hell out of me, was his daughter. I know he has several children. I was speaking. It was 2008. She was 16 years old at the time, and I thought I was speaking to like a self-made woman of about 35.
Wow.
I mean, she obviously looked 16 and pretty cute. I caught myself telling myself, Nick, she's 16. Get a grip. So she's very attractive and articulate, so on her feet and smart and articulate. I was like, I'm possibly looking at the next president, you know, if she runs on a Republican ticket. You know, I wish it could be the same for a Libertarian ticket, but unfortunately that's not it. But I was like, mark my words, you're going to hear about her in the news, not this year, of course, but come within the next perhaps, you know, 6 or so years, you're going to hear about Wayne Allen Root's daughter. I was blown away.
Wow.
It was
nice.
Just because she was cute. Really cute.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, hey, listen, we'll wrap this up. We had Drew Schottenheimer on, I believe, on the last show or two shows ago. I think we might have done two shows last week. And he is one of the folks with the Let Ron Paul Speak. And you can find them at letronpaulspeak.com. And we had a lot of people call in, and we had a lot of listeners on that show because there are a lot of people out there that are Ron Paul supporters. And they just want him to have an opportunity to speak at the convention. So we understand that. I just want to give people an update. They've gotten, I think, four congressmen and senators from around the country to sign on to that, to say, yeah, he should be speaking there. And they're trying to get more elected officials so they have a little more horsepower to get their word out. But if you want to check them out, go to letronpaulspeak.com. They're making headway with that. I just want to give people an update because I promised Drew that I would update folks. He's been, you know, copying me on the emails. In fact, let me pull one up and I'll give you some of the names. Rhode Island, Dan Gordon, Mike Miller from Montana and New Hampshire, Jennifer Coffey, and Senator Beth Mora, it sounds like, according to Dan Gordon, has also agreed. So we've got three reps and one senator, and they're still working it. So anybody that's interested in that, you know, go check that out. That was from Drew Schottenheimer. And we had a big response. I had a feeling we would because I floated some stuff out there on Facebook to some of my friends and groups out there that I know have a following. And sure enough, we had people calling in from, you remember that. We had people calling in from around the country, not just in my home state of Florida where I really floated that stuff out there. But so that was kind of nice. Now, I'm ready, if you are, for the quote of the week. And this is none other than Ben Stein. And Ben Stein's a really smart guy. There's some things I really disagree with Ben Stein on, but he's a smart guy. And I think he put this into a nice little sentence that most of us probably have thought about and yet can't articulate quite the way Ben Stein can in just one simple sentence. And here it is. Fathom the hypocrisy of a government that requires every citizen to prove they are insured, but not everyone must prove they are a citizen. Isn't that insightful?
Yeah.
Doesn't that just sum it all up? You don't have to prove you're a citizen, but if you are a citizen, you better damn well prove that you've got insurance or we're coming after you. But if you're not a citizen here violating federal law, oh, wow, welcome aboard. Hey, thanks for coming. So, anyway, it's such hypocrisy, and it is. It is. Just, it's so hypocritical, and I'm so tired of having a government that is so hypocritical and treats citizens like such crap. And anybody and every criminal from any other country in the world, we welcome with open arms because we just see them as potential future voters and pandering to very specific supposed voter blocks, which I think is false. I don't think it's really going to work, and but we'll see. So anyway, that's all I have for tonight. We're going to be back next week and the week after. I haven't honestly decided, based on my social schedule and work schedule, just what days will, but I'm going to put a schedule out here in the next few days of probably Wednesday or Thursday of each week throughout the month of August. If you're in Florida, early voting now, and I think you've got it till the end of next week to do that. Get out and vote. Do it early. And unlike the criminal left, do not vote repeatedly and numerous times. Vote once, follow the law, and we'll win this the right way, the legal way, without resorting to voter fraud the way they already have and are already engaged in. And we see those articles coming out every week about the voter fraud, getting people getting caught in that across the country. And who are they? They're always the criminal left engaged in voter fraud. So I'll give you the last word tonight, Nick.
I just keep tuning in to theprogressive.com. We have articles coming out hopefully before the end of the week. We'll work on something concerning. We're actually speaking of Eric Holder and voter fraud, so we hopefully will have that out before the end of the week. But if not, you know, Monday and everything, and we're trying to do two things. We're trying to build our new site, which hasn't been launched yet, become familiar with the software, how the back end works and everything, and at the same time try to keep up with this very, very important time in America and a very important election. So we're very busy, and we're pulling our hair out, which as I get older, more and more of that hair keeps not disappearing, but appearing in my ears. So if I have to pull my hair out, Tom, I'll start with my ears.
Yeah, that's the best place, nose and ear hair. Pull that out before your head hair.
Yeah. You just wake up, and you go to sleep, and you wake up in the morning, one hair has grown 3 feet overnight. What's up with that?
it's one of God's jokes. Yeah, that's his way of having a little fun with us. But hey, have you been putting out any new non-approved or failed for approval Olympic type sports on Twitter?
Well, on Twitter, no. I did have the update a couple that I went through last week to include the what was it? The all Muslim air show competition.
Yeah.
We've all seen how that can turn out.
My favorite is the synchronized waterboarding. That was my favorite one.
Yeah.
And of course, I kind of stole from you, but somebody else made the graphic, and you know it's on the website and it's on Facebook. But the synchronized line, I got a picture of President Obama standing next to Eric Holder, and it's called Washington Olympic synchronized line. So that didn't make it to the Olympics either, I guess. But it's alive and well in Washington D.C.
Yeah, synchronized stealing too.
Yeah, synchronized stealing. Yeah, and that's like that's a team effort, you know, about the size of a soccer team. The Obama administration and all of his minions there, his czars and his secretaries of the cabinet, synchronized stealing. I don't know if it would be synchronized. Yeah, you can do group synchronized, yeah, with 20 people. So anyway, all right, Nick, it's a pleasure. Thanks for joining us tonight. Be sure and check out dubprogressive.com. And, of course, follow Nick on Twitter at dubprogressive. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter. Say it again.
At underscore progressive.
Oh, we got to have the underscore. Okay, at the underscore progressive. And on Twitter, The American Hour. And Facebook, The American Hour radio show page. So thanks for joining us tonight. We'll see you next week, Wednesday or Thursday, and we'll have more for you on this election. And maybe, excuse me, even some state and local stuff. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Take care, Nick.
All right, thanks, Tom. Good night, everybody.
You're listening to the American Hour with Commander Tom Garcia on the USA Talk Radio Network.